If you please take your Bibles and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're continuing to work our way through 1 Corinthians in our mornings together. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Y'all can maybe turn my mic up just a little bit this morning. I'd appreciate it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. All right, we're about middle ways through the year. How's your Bible reading going this year? All right, this is a good time to kind of check ourselves on that. And if you've got a goal, you know, you're continuing to strive for that. If you're on track, then great. Maybe if you've fallen behind, then you can recalibrate that a little bit and prepare to finish the second half of the year in a strong way, in an edifying way as you read and study God's Word. We also send out scripture memory verses each week via text message. If you're not receiving the Bible reading plan and the memory verse for the week, then please let me know and we can get you fixed up with that so that you're able to receive those. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. I'll read just that one lone verse and then I'll pray. Scripture says, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. After I pray, I'd like to share with you a message entitled, "Judge Nothing." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord God, I thank You this morning for the great truths we've been able to sing. Father, of Christ crucified and risen again, and Lord, how through Jesus we have eternal life and will forever be able to say and will forever say that it's not I, but it's Christ in me. And that is our confession. We confess that this morning. Father, I thank You, God, for Your tender mercies and Your loving kindnesses, which are from of old. And I thank You, Father, that so often You do not remember the sins of our youth, nor our transgressions. But You remember us in Your great mercy, and You do so for Your goodness' sake. Thank You, Lord. Father, I pray today as Your Word goes out that You'd enable me to be able to proclaim it. And Father, I pray that for those who hear, that You'd give them grace to be able to hear what the Spirit says through Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would help us and cause us. Don't just help us, Lord, cause us to walk in Your Spirit, to be a church that is of one mind and of one spirit, that is striving together for the faith of the gospel. And use that gospel, Lord. Let us see the power of the gospel and the salvation of lost sinners who come to repentance and faith in Christ. Lord, use it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't it good that we are able to say with Isaiah, as God said through Isaiah, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth." Because that is what God has invited the world to. He's invited lost men, women, boys, and girls to look to Him and to be saved. And we know that salvation comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who bore our sins in His body on the tree, died there in our place, taken down from that tree, buried in a borrowed tomb, buried with the rich, but raised again on the third day, according to our gospel which we must proclaim. Paul, as you remember, determined to know nothing among the Corinthians except Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And it's good to be able to proclaim that good news and to know that a just God is also a Savior. He is a just God who will not turn a blind eye to the sins of men, but He is also a God, the God who is a Savior. And we know He is a Savior because the great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has appeared. And in that appearance, He is teaching us in the school of grace to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live righteously, godly, and soberly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, I read a moment ago. I would like to go back now and read verses 1 through 6 again. If you would, again, look there to 1 Corinthians 4, giving us a little bit of context again. I've already preached through verses 1 through 5. If you would like to go back and listen to that sermon, you can go back 2 weeks and listen to it. Grateful for Brother David filling in last week, did a masterful job in declaring God's Word to us. So thank you, Brother David, for that. I'll start at verse 1. It says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing." "For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, yet he who judges me is the Lord." Verse 5, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." Now, verse 6 says, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another." All right, may God again bless the reading of His Word there. So as we look at this passage together this morning, I've entitled this, "Judge Nothing." It might have been better if I would have titled it like this, with the parentheses there, "Judge Nothing." Because I don't know about you, but when I look at this passage of Scripture, I certainly, have questions about it. Because I showed you last week, and Lord willing, at the end of this message today, I'll show you again, where the writing to the Corinthians, Paul did indeed tell them to judge some things. But yet here he is saying to them, "Judge nothing. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes." So I have questions about this. I thought you might as well. So I want to try to focus just on this verse because it does seem to be such a pivotal verse here in this writing because of the way the Corinthians were viewing Paul and Apollos and Cephas, and then whether they were viewing them in a negative light or in a positive light. This passage is important for them to know, and it's important for us to know as well. It's important for us to know this because we can, perhaps if you're anything like me, tend to be judgmental at times. And if we begin to judge one another and actually sin against God by doing what He's telling us not to do in this verse, then it is sin, first of all. And second of all, it's something we would not want to do to our brother or sister in Christ. So we'll spend some time diving into this. To kind of get an idea of this, well, let me show you the first two points. To help you understand what I'm trying to mean here by nothing. All right. I guess I'll look at the wording here and try to help the wording give me more understanding in it. He says, "Therefore, judge nothing." In other words, when you don't have something tangible in front of you that you either see or hear, then judge nothing. Kind of in that way. So it's, first of all, nothing as in things that are not seen. And then the phrase that that comes from is the part of the verse where he says, bring to light the hidden things of darkness. So in other words, those hidden things of darkness are not seen. The reason I'm saying to you, trying to say to you this morning, that maybe the reason or what Paul means by judge nothing is the things that, number one, are not seen. Because that's what he lists out after he says judge nothing. Until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness. So what's the Lord going to do? He's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Second thing, judge nothing as in things that are not known. What things are not known here? You look at the second part of what the Lord is going to judge when He returns, the second part of the both. The second part of that is that the Lord, when He returns, when He comes, He will reveal the counsels or the motives of the hearts. All right? So that's what the Lord is going to do. So perhaps what Paul is saying here when he says, therefore judge nothing before the time, he's saying, do not judge the things that are not seen and do not judge the things that are not known. Because when the Lord returns, He is the one who's going to do that. And you'll notice here that in the second part of that, the second part of the both, that he says, reveal the counsels or the motives of the hearts. So that definitely dives into the realm of judging the hearts of other people. Now, let me go ahead and give you the third point. Then we're going to go back and really try to look at several passages of Scripture. A lot of them I'll just read to you. Third point is this. Nothing judging can only be done by the Lord. Nothing judging can only be done by the Lord. And that's until the Lord comes, who will both? All right, I'm using that part of the verse to support that point. Nothing judging can only be done by the Lord because He is the one who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. He is the one who will reveal the counsels of the hearts. All right, so let's look into this a little bit. Job 1, Satan does this very thing. In Job chapter 1, Satan judges nothing. All right, what I mean by that is he judges the hidden things of darkness and he judges the motives of Job's heart. All right, let me show this to you. If you turn to Psalms and then go back a book, you'll be in the book of Job. So in Job chapter 1, and I'm not going to go into all of the context here. My hope is that you know some of it. If you don't, I encourage you to read Job 1 and 2, and that will pretty clearly give you the context here of what's going on. But in Job chapter 1, verse 7, verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Verse 9. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Now look at verse 10. Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right? Now, I hope you see what I'm saying here. Satan is not omniscient. He does not know all things. He does not know the hearts of men. He does not know their minds. All right? So Satan is not omniscient, but when it came to Job, and God actually recommending Job, suggesting Job, Satan concluded that the only reason Job is upright, the only reason that Job lives the way that he lives, is a blameless and upright man, is because of all that God does for him. If God did not do everything that God did for Job, then Job would surely curse God to his face. All right? So that's the first example of Satan judging nothing. In other words, he was judging things that he did not know, that he could not see. Go to chapter 2, if you would, please. In chapter 2, after this first wave of suffering and loss that Job endures, the second wave is going to come. And so similar context, and I'll pick up with verse 3. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity? Although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause." So in verse 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he's in your hand, but spare his life." Again, Satan had judged Job that the only reason Job was worshiping God and being faithful to God was because of how good God was to him. And if God stopped doing that, then Job would surely curse him. Do you see that? Now, as we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, and as you're turning there, I'm going to read for you several verses. If you want these verses, I can give them to you. You can try to write the reference down if you want. Don't get too caught up in that. I'd be glad to give them to you. But listen in these verses, how we see in these verses in the Bible that it's very clear that God alone is the one who knows the hearts and minds of men. It is by God and God alone that actions will be weighed. He is the judge. Psalm 139, verse 1, the psalmist said, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me." Jeremiah 11, verse 20, "But, O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart." Jeremiah 17:10, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." 1 Samuel 2, verse 3, "Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed." Psalm 7, verse 9, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God tests the hearts and minds." Luke chapter 16, verse 15, "And he said to them, 'You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God.'" Acts chapter 1, verse 4, "In the prayer to God, there in the upper room with 120 gathered, they prayed and said, 'But you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen.'" That's just a sample in Scripture. There are many more passages that support this truth that God is the one who judges, but God is able to judge righteously because God knows the hearts and the minds of all men. So with that in mind, in 1 Corinthians 4, 5, you maybe can see why Paul is emphasizing this to the Corinthians. Because if we are right in saying the thing that they were maybe judging was the level of faithfulness of these men as stewards of the mysteries of God and as servants of Christ, then he's saying, do not do that. Therefore, judge nothing. Do not judge the things that you cannot see or the things that you cannot know. Again, why is this such a big deal? You might remember, if you want to turn there, you can. This is probably a hot topic verse, but Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2. Matthew 7, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, it will be measured. With what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Then he goes on in verse 3 and says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." I can't spend a lot of time on this passage, but here's the deal. When we place ourselves in judgment over our brothers, we are seeking to place ourselves in the place of God. And the plank that is in the eye here may not be just another sin that they're doing, but the plank in the eye here may be more than anything else the fact that we have made ourselves judge over another. All right, now let me, if it's right that the book of James is like a commentary or elaborates upon the Sermon on the Mount, then maybe we can find some help here as well. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I hope I'm making some sense, because the looks on y'all's faces does not give me any assurance that I'm making any sense. But sometimes as a preacher, you just got to press on forward no matter what. So I'm going to keep going with it. Now, in James chapter 4, if you'll look at verse 11, if you're turning there, James 4 verse 11, he says this, and again, I'm not trying to expound on this whole passage. Verses 1 and 2 is what we want to look at and just draw out one clear point, I think, from this. "Do not speak evil of one another." And do remember this, the verse just prior to it talks about what? Humility. All right, so then verse 11. "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law." All right, so the reason he was speaking evil was because he judged his brother, and that judgment then, in his mind, gave him the right to speak evil of his brother. So he who does this speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now notice this part, verse 12. "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" Now, the one lawgiver here in verse 12 is no doubt God. And this God is the one who's given the law, therefore this God is the one who is ultimately, finally, and truly and righteously the judge. Would y'all agree with that? So there's scripture admonition to us, warning to us to be careful not to place ourselves in the place of God as though we are the lawgiver and as though we know the hearts and minds of men. Going back to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. And I'm going to focus here now on the first point. Point number one. Nothing as in things that are seen or not seen. Nothing as in things that are not seen. Again, I want to remind you and reassure you that there is clear teaching in Scripture of things that we are to judge. At the end of this sermon, you can see it on your handout, six areas in which the Corinthians and us are told to judge. All right? So I'm not throwing that all of that out, but what I want to do is focus on this verse right now and what the apostle was saying to the Corinthians and what he's saying to us. So the first part of the both that he mentions here is both bring to light the hidden things of darkness. So there are hidden things of darkness that the Lord, when He comes back, will reveal. This is not the first place in Scripture where something like this is mentioned. And we wonder if Paul had Jesus' words in mind when he wrote this. And we'll go to a couple of passages and see where Jesus said something very similar to both of these. The darkness here, when I look at it, I want to say he must be talking about negative things, bad things that are hidden in darkness. And I do lean more that way, but I'm not so sure that that's what he has in mind completely based upon what we see in the gospel writings. I'm going to go first of all to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Matthew 10, verse 26. This is in the context here. My Bible has a heading, Persecutions Are Coming. So, picking up at verse 24, he says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known." All right, so Jesus lays this out here very clearly. All right, so that's the first reference. Now, if you'll go to the next one, Luke chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Luke chapter 8, and this follows at the end of the parable of the sower of the seed, and it falls down on various types of ground. All right, so in verse 16 of Luke chapter 8, if y'all found that this morning, would you say amen? Verse 16 says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light." Verse 17, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore," he says in verse 18, "take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." I'm not going to comment on these until after I read this one. Luke 12, verses 2 and 3. And then after I read this, I want to bring it right back around to 1 Corinthians 4 in the context of that, and hopefully it will help us understand this. Luke 12, I'll start at verse 1. Luke 12, verses 1 through 3. He says, the Bible says there, "In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, 'Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.'" Now, real quick, can you see leaven? All right, so this hypocrisy was something that could not be seen, but Jesus could call it out because he is Lord. Verse 2, he says, "For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed on the housetops." All right, so that's three times. There is another, but that covers it for us. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 4. Do you remember the context of what he's dealing with here? He is figuratively going to transfer the things he's been talking about in verses 1 through 5 to himself and Apollos. Servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He has said already, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you. That's the human sphere that we've talked about. And then he points out his own personal judgment of himself, but he says that does not acquit me or justify me. But then he says, the one who judges me is the Lord. So Jesus has already said in the Gospels that we just read that it, no matter what it is, and it seems to be, it could be a positive or a negative, sinful thing, darkness, no matter what it may be, the Lord will bring it to light. And now do you see why Paul says it's a very small thing that I be judged by you, because I understand that the Lord is going to bring the motives even of my heart to bear one day so that it will be known. So the minister and the servant of God walks in the fear of God, understanding who he is and what awaits him one day. And that be true for all of us. So, the things that are seen, we judge. We'll see that. But the things that are not seen, that's not our business. That's the Lord's business. The second point, I'll elaborate on this just a little bit. Nothing as in things that are not known, revealing the counsels of the hearts. Now, I will point out to you that we can know the heart of men. All right, we can know their hearts based upon things that they say and the things that they do. For instance, Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." So I do want you to understand that hearts can be revealed. What was happening with the apostles, Paul in particular, is that he had faithfully served the Corinthians. He had gone away. He had suffered greatly for the sake of the gospel, and now they have gotten to a place to where they're questioning even his apostleship because that's something he'll have to deal with in chapter 9 and in 2 Corinthians. So they began to look at his life and judge him, and to judge him wrongly. And he says to them, judge nothing before the time. The Lord's going to make it all clear. What is our responsibility here? Let me give you a couple things that we have a responsibility for under this second point. The psalmist said in Psalm 51 verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. What is our responsibility personally? It's to keep a clean heart. Second is this. Proverbs 4:23, the writer of Proverbs says, keep your heart with all what? Anybody know? Diligence. For out of it flow the issues of life. We're to keep our hearts. We can sometimes, can't we, become so focused on judging the motives of other people's hearts that we forget about our own hearts and the need for those hearts to be clean and for the need for those hearts to be kept. In Mark chapter 7, 17 through 21, Jesus said, or the scripture says, when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Our hearts must be taken care of. Now, I'm running late on time. I'm going to commit what in some eyes might be viewed as an unpardonable sin, but I'm not finishing the handout this morning. We will conclude that at a later date. My time has run out. And I hope you're getting the gist of where we're going with this. It's real important because I don't know about you, but I can try to put myself in the place of God and judge things I have no business judging. I'm guilty. And the scripture tells us, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. Let's pray together. Lord, I do thank you for your word. I need to hear it. And God, I suspect we do as a church. I know your word will not return void. It's going to accomplish what you intend for it. Father, I pray as we live out our Christian lives and however long you give us upon this earth, for we know our lives are but a vapor, just a shadow here today and gone tomorrow. Lord, I pray as we live out our days here, let us do so in humility. Let us do so, Lord, living according to what you have said, how you have said for us to live, and not in a way that seems right in our own eyes. God bless your word to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.